Good morning. You said that like you're in Minnesota. Good morning. Good. Well, you guys are lucky because this is second service, so I got to practice the first time. Now it's going to be really good. So that's a joke. If you're happy to be in the house of God, notify your face. Perfect. Like you said, my name is Ryan Edberg. I am from Nashville, Tennessee area. And I flew in yesterday. I'll be home tonight. I'm just here for you guys this morning. Happy to be here. I grew up in Minnesota. I'm from Brainerd area. And so I love it in Minnesota, except for I got off the plane and forgot how cold it was. I think somebody forgot to remind you guys it was September only. So we could wait a few more months for to be that cold. But it is good to be here. Like you said, I was in a band for about 15 years, traveled, did ministry all over the world, and now we are doing all over the world. And we really believe in going after the next generation and doing stuff for them. When we first started, even, there's a lot of different ministries and events that told us don't do youth ministry. It's not profitable. It's a hopeless generation and all that. And I thought, you know, maybe we should do 20 a year then. So I really believe in this generation. I believe that it's not a lost generation, but that this is the future of our country, the future of the church. And if we don't get it right as a church, we're only a generation off from being extinct as a church. So if our younger people don't come to church and they go off, the church will die out. So we're very much involved in the youth. But this morning, I want to talk to you about faith. Is that all right? And I'm going to preach on, read a lot of scripture because I really believe in that. Because doing these events, doing stuff with youth, it takes a lot of faith. Anything in Christianity takes faith. If you are taking notes, write stuff down. I am going to go fast because they told me I only had an hour and a half to preach. So, just kidding. You guys are fun this morning. But I'm going to go fast. If you want to write down some notes, you can write down Hebrews 10 and 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure with him." As I started this, I began to read a lot that the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. And what does that mean? I mean, if we're as Christians supposed to live by faith in everything that we do, what does it exactly mean? Because we believe that faith in Jesus Christ leads to salvation, correct? We believe that it's as simple as believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with your mouth and you will be saved, right? So that's just one part of it, though. If you put your faith or apply your faith to anything in the Word, it works. I want to read this with you. How do we get faith? Romans 10 and 17, it says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Anything that God says, you can attach your faith to it and see breakthrough happen in your life. It's not just about salvation, although it is a huge pivotal moment in your life and the most important thing, but whatever the Word says is a promise for you. You believe that? You believe that there is power in the Word? You believe that it is alive and real today and still living and breathing and still has power today? So it's not just about the salvation part, although that's huge. It's about everything that God says. It's about every promise that there is. You know, we talked earlier in the first service about, you know, your faith in Jesus Christ comes by hearing of the Word. And when you have faith in Jesus Christ, it would be ridiculous for us this morning to come down here at the altar or at a youth conference, an event, and beg Jesus to die on a cross, right? So let's just, everybody take a moment, let's just, you know, say, "God, just die on the cross, send Jesus to die on a cross." No, that's silly because we know that Jesus died on the cross. So it's not that we're begging him to do that, it's putting our faith in what Jesus has done. But yet with healing or anything else, sometimes we go back to begging God for what he's already done and said we could have. When it says, "By his stripes we are healed," instead of putting our faith in that, sometimes I hear a prayer of, you know, "God, I need you to heal me now. God, won't you heal me now?" Heal me now, when you need to put your faith in what he's done And so it manifests, if that makes sense to you. It says the gospel is the good news. Do you believe that? The gospel is the good news. And so the good news is Jesus Christ. Amen? So if the good news is that Jesus Christ, he came and says, I came to preach the gospel or the good news to the lost. Well, what is the good news to somebody that's lost? You don't have to be lost anymore. But it goes on to say, I've came to preach the gospel to the poor. I've came to preach the gospel to the sick. I've came to, and it goes through that. Well, what's the gospel to somebody that's poor? You don't have to be poor anymore. What's the gospel to somebody, the good news to somebody that's sick? You don't have to be sick anymore. And so the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is putting your faith in everything that the cross paid for. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to read this real quick for you. What is faith? Faith is, in Hebrews 11 and 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So your faith is something that you're really believing God for. Again, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. So when you put your faith in the Word of God or a promise in the Word that you find and you say, so I'm going through financial struggle right now. Well, what does the Word say about that? The Word says that you're blessed and highly favored, that your Father is blessed you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It says that. So do you believe in that enough to press through and put your faith in the Word of God? So if you find it in the Word, you can put your faith in it. And so faith comes by hearing of the Word of God, but faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's something that you're believing for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is proven when you can't see it. It doesn't take much faith to believe in me because I'm right here. It doesn't take much faith to believe in the person sitting next to you. But faith comes when you can't actually see it, but you have to go on something bigger. You have to go on something deeper, and that's the Word of God. So I want to read this to you because it's not just about the Word, because we know that there's power in the Word. Do you agree with that? There's power in the Word. But here in Hebrews 4 and 2, it talks about, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the word preached correctly, there's power in that. But it still won't profit you without faith. If you hear something, it's just good information, it's correct, but it doesn't have power until it's working through you. I said this in the first service, and then I'll qualify it, but we think that Jesus came to die on a cross to get us into heaven, which was one part of it. But Jesus didn't just die on the cross to get you into heaven. He died on the cross to get heaven into you. It's a different thought process. Even when you pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. God, we need power now on earth, just like it is in heaven. Why would you tell us to pray that way if it wasn't possible? And a lot of us as a church, we sometimes have this saying and this feeling of that we're nothing without Christ. We're nothing without Christ. And that's 100% true. You are nothing without Christ. But I don't know why we stand on that when that doesn't apply to me and you. Does it? We aren't without Christ, are we? We're with Christ. So then the opposite must be true as well, that we are everything with Christ, that through Christ, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen? So it's just changing our thought process so that we can be effective in this world, because there's a hurting world there. You don't have to do youth conferences to see that there's a generation that needs God. There's people out there in your neighborhood, at your work, where you're at, that is looking for a breakthrough, and they don't even know what it is. And you have it living on the inside of you. The hope of glory. I want to read a story to you real quick, because It's one of my favorite Bible stories. If you've heard me preach, I do like to preach it a lot. But there's some powerful points in here that when you hear a Bible story that you've heard many times, like if we hear the prodigal son, we're probably just shut it off in our mind. And we're like, I know that story. He comes back to the father. Woohoo! It's a great story. This is another story like that, but I want to show you a few things that you may have missed. I want to talk about Peter walking on the water. And I want to talk about this because I've heard it preached so many times, but at the end of it, the story is keep your eyes on Jesus and you won't sink. And I think that's great, and it's true, but there's so much more in this story that I want to show you guys. So if you're taking notes or reading along with you, me, it is Matthew 14, 22 through 32. Again, that's Matthew 14, 22 through 32. And it says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And I think right there, it's very important that if Jesus himself getting away from the craziness of life to spend time with God to pray, how much more important is this for us to do that? So he got away with himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. For on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. So this is a great story because it really encourages me of what's possible for Christians, just normal people like you and me. What's possible when you put your faith in Jesus? What's possible when you put your faith in the Word? And it's important because, you know, we see Jesus walking on the water, and that doesn't shock us. Yeah, that's Jesus. He can do that. He's fully God, fully man, of course. But there's a man like us walking on the water. Now, I want you to look in that story. It says when Jesus was walking out there, there was a storm. The winds and the wave were already going. And so Peter wasn't stepping out on calm water. And I don't know if you've ever tried to walk on water. I have. It doesn't work. Unless you're from Minnesota, and in a couple months, you can walk on water. The rest of the world doesn't understand. But you cannot walk on water. But here's a man like you and me walking on water. And I want to show you, he walked out in the midst of a storm. It wasn't like a calm glass. And I've seen different pictures portrayed of Peter stepping out of the boat, and it's calm, and Jesus is walking there, hair blowing in the wind, looking all fabulous. It wasn't like that. There was a storm. He said, "If it's you, tell me to come." And Jesus said, "Come," in the midst of a storm. So he got out of the boat in the middle of a storm. Now that takes faith. But here we see at the end of the verse, it talks about ye of little faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I think he had faith. And I know that it's not the amount of faith that it was, because we know that even faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. The Word tells us that. So what is Jesus really saying? When Jesus said, "You have little faith," he stepped out in the middle of a storm, walking on water, which never been done before, just because Jesus said so. Now, it wasn't about the amount of faith when he said, "Ye of little faith." He wasn't talking about the amount. He was talking about the longevity of it. So Ye of Little Faith was talking about the length, because he then says, why did you doubt? And sometimes when God calls us to do something, not sometimes, every time, the devil will try to put doubt into your life and fear into your life. So you will second guess what you're in the middle of. If God calls you to speak to somebody at your work or a neighbor that you don't like, and as soon as you hear that and you're like, I think I'm supposed to talk to that person, then immediately comes the mind games of, well, I don't know, they don't like me, this isn't going to go well, this isn't. And the enemy starts to work with us right here to tell us you can't do that. Whenever God calls you to do something, it's done. You want to know why Peter was walking on the water? You see, there's two different things in life, and sometimes they don't match up. There's truth, and there's facts. Facts can change. Facts, we're given facts all the time, and then they retract their facts. The facts are, you know, the earth is flat. Well, I think there's a few people who disagree with that now. Facts can always change, but the truth of the Word of God, if something's true, it's true today, tomorrow, and it can't be changed. Truth doesn't change. And there's always just one truth, usually. But what I'm saying to you, if you get a report or some facts from a doctor, be careful what you believe. Because the truth of the Word says that you're blessed and highly favored, that by His stripes you were healed. And that the truth can come in and change the facts. Look at what Peter did here. Before he walked on water, the facts said man can't walk on water, but the truth of the Word of God said, come. And as soon as he spoke and said, come, Peter was able to walk out, not on water anymore, but he was walking on the Word of God. Think about what he did before he was able to even walk out. He said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. What was Jesus supposed to say? It's not me. I'm just kidding. He said, you're going to test me? Come. And he walked out. And he was no longer walking on water, but walking on the Word of God that said. And yes, the winds and the waves were around. He stepped out in a storm in faith. Now, I'm talking about the faith of longevity. When God tells you something that you can do, when God breathes life into your vision, your dreams, I believe that everybody has a calling, everybody has a purpose. Whether it's you work full-time and you bless ministries, whether you work full-time and you're reaching those people around you, you're mentoring, whatever it is that God's called you to do, I believe that not everybody is sent to go preach in Africa or go preach in Asia or go preach in Australia, whatever it is, I believe that God has placed people all over the world in different fields to reach the world. So we all have different parts. And when God calls you or tells you to do something, then the battle begins. Then the fight comes in because the devil's trying to get you to be out of faith. If you have faith and he can, the Bible says, how could a double-minded man expect to receive anything from God? If the devil can get you to second guess the Word of God, that's where the problem is. Think about this for a moment. Have you ever thought about this back in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve are hanging out there. The devil comes. It's a snake or whatever is talking to them. You know, first off, if any snake talks to you, run away. Or stomp it. My dad's a taxidermist, and I said, you know, in first service, I said, if there's any snake talking to me, that thing is going to be on my fireplace for sure. I'm not going to have a snake just sit there and talk to me. You're going to listen to me like, okay, I should go, okay, eat that. And I think it's interesting that God's two commandments to Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and don't eat of that tree. And I think it's also symbolic of a tithe. You know, God says, all of this is yours. I'm just asking for a bit back to see where your heart's at. And God said, all of this garden is yours. Don't touch that. But anyways, so what God said, I was thinking about this. So the devil comes to destroy mankind. He's pretty angry of what happened and what God created. And he just hates man because we took his place. Like, until then, he was the greatest a creation that God had ever done. And then God physically formed man and breathed his own breath into man, and man stood up. So the devil's angry. So why didn't the devil come up there instead of telling Eve, go eat the tree? Why didn't she say, go kill Adam? Go kill Adam. You know, that would have been a shorter book. We would all have been done for. But she couldn't have done that. He couldn't have done that because God never said, do not kill yet. Think about that for a moment. He said, be fruitful and multiply. God wasn't thinking about sin. He wasn't thinking about the do's and the don'ts. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Name the animals. Enjoy each other. Spend time together. That was God's heart. That was his. And the devil couldn't say that because it didn't go against the word of God. God gave one thing, don't eat that. So the devil said, let's go against the word of God. And it's powerful because the devil will always fight you in that aspect. When God tells you something, that's where the devil will come in, right here. He's not going to jump out, except for on Halloween, out of a bush and try to scare you. It will always just be right here in the mind, because if he can plant a thought, he'll let you run with it. It's true. The battle is up here. And as soon as God tells you you can do something, all of a sudden we play the what if game. And my bank account's not big enough for that, God. And when God calls you to do something, he's not asking you to look at your bank account. He's asking you to look at his bank account. Now, I talked earlier, I know we're in Minnesota, in Democratic country here, but I think we can all agree on one thing. I'm not going to go political because I don't want to be crucified. But I think we can agree on one thing altogether, no matter where you stand. Donald Trump has a lot of money. Can we agree on that? So Donald Trump's son, little buddy, I don't know what his name is, but I think we could all agree that he's rich too. And we don't have to look in his piggy bank. We don't have to look in what he's got or how much he's ever worked or anything. But we know that he's also rich and going to be rich because of his father. And if you can follow me on this, it's not about politics. It's about who you're connected with. And it's about your source and who your father is where you stand. And so when God calls you to do something or has set a vision or a dream or something in your heart, he's not asking you to look at your bank account or your potential or your qualifications. He's asking you to believe. He's asking you to just believe. God's looking for believers. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If they don't have faith, my spirit draws back from them. It has no pleasure with them. The just shall live by faith. God's looking for people that have faith. And sometimes we pull back because we believe that we're not qualified or we're not. And you know what? Like I said, if we're nothing without Christ, but we're everything with Christ, and it's him working through us. You know, if God can get through you, he's not trying to get stuff to you, he's trying to get it through you, that you can go out there into this area and be a blessing and a breakthrough for everybody else. That's what God's called us to do. Did you guys get something out of that this morning? Both of you, good. Did you guys get something out of that this morning? Yeah. All right. So what we're doing with Kingdom Youth Conferences, we're about doing 20 youth conferences a year. It's very close to that. We are doing youth conferences all over the world. We've got our first one in Haiti in 2019, the summer. They've never done a youth conference there. And we are going to go there with a full bands and lights and everything. We're going to preach the gospel to kids in Haiti. And we've got open doors in Brazil and Russia and England. And we are just praying for the right doors and the right opportunities. We just don't want to do events to do events. Amen. We want to do God-ordained appointments. So we want to go where he wants us to go and in the right timing and the right season. So what we're doing in March, we are going to be here at your church. So we are going to be doing a youth conference right here on this stage. I think we already had a volunteer for backflip, right? I heard it this morning. So he's going to give it his best shot, and we've got paramedics standing by Our insurance isn't good, but we hope this church has some. We're going to do a youth conference here, and we just love you guys and appreciate you guys opening up the church for the students. We've got churches already signing up from all over Minnesota and North Dakota and Iowa. So we're very excited that you guys have opened your doors for students all over. That we're going to preach the gospel, pray over them, and really believe for them. If you guys will be a part of it, there's a couple things that we're doing. You've already opened up. We have a table in the back if you want to volunteer. What we really need is some strong guys on Friday morning at about 9 a.m. that would be here and help us load in. We've got a big Prevo bus coming with a huge trailer, and this stage and area will look a lot different, I promise you. We've got LED walls and a whole bunch of stuff that we've got to set up, so we need some guys that would say, I can help out for that morning, and will help us set that up. If you want to volunteer for anything else, we need runners to bring our speakers back and forth. We're going to be flying in people from Australia, Dallas, Texas, Colorado, Indiana, all over. So if you want to help go back and forth to the airport, anything like that, you can see Christine. She'll be at the table back there. You can wave your hands, do a little dance, and she'll be back there. We could really use some help, and we appreciate it very much. Also, if you want to stand with us as Kingdom Youth Conference, we're raising about $10,000 just for that event alone. So if you want to stand with us, the churches gave us their blessing to do a love offering. I think there'll be baskets on your way out. You can write your checks to the church, Christ Church, and they will handle that and get it to us. Otherwise, you can do cash, or if you want, you can give online with a card to kingdomyouthconference.com, but we are trying to raise about $10,000 to do this so we don't go broke. My wife really appreciates it when we don't go broke. So we thank you guys for standing with us. We thank you for opening up your church and your hearts to us and just being a part. It's the body of Christ. We all do this together. And when you guys sow into this and we go reach students in other cities, other countries, you have part in that. And so I'm believing and hoping that when you get to heaven, you'll have lots of students giving you a hug and saying thank you. Thank you, thank you. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So if you guys want to do that, we really appreciate it. Thank you guys for letting me be a part this morning. I appreciate being at this church. I'm going to turn it back to Pastor Kurt. Just kidding. I just like to say that.